Father, we do proclaim You're worthy. We say there is none like You, Lord. Our strength. You are our strength and our Redeemer.
Yes.
Our strong tower, our hope. You are our provider, our peace. Our all in all. We love You today.
Yes.
Love You with all of our heart, Lord. We lift You up. We magnify You, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. You're worthy, Lord. Once again, Lord, we ask for Your presence here today. I pray that You'd be seen, Lord, not me but You, that Your word would come forth, Your thoughts, Your ideas this morning, Lord. I yield myself to You. You do in this place what You need to do today according to Your plan and Your will. And for this, we'll praise and thank You and give You praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I just want to mention that about four of us showed up at the men's breakfast yesterday morning. But you know, it was a good time. It was Pat and Richard and Bill Franz and myself. Now, I got into a discussion with Bill after two of them left. But we were talking about end times and things that are going on in our country today and in the world. And there is no greater time than right now, when the pressure is on the people. And you can feel it yourselves. I mean, you don't have to listen to the news. You don't have to do anything. But you can feel that there is a tremendous, stress, pressure coming on people. You talk to them in different places, and I talk to neighbors, and I hear and I can see and feel what they're going through. A lot of people are scared, and they're afraid, and rightly so. After 9/11, people came to church. The churches were filled. They're empty again. The memory is gone. They don't think about what's going on anymore. They're worried about their gas prices that they have to pay, the fuel bills that are going up. They're worried about the price of increase in their food. I'm listening to people talking on the radio about the price of school supplies. $400 for school supplies. When I was a kid, I think if my dad spent 25 cents on me, I was lucky. I got a pencil and I got a scribbler. Things have changed. I didn't belong to a ruler. I never listened to a ruler. and it's so important today that we talk to other people and give them some hope. Today, people have no hope. You listen to them, they don't have anything going for them. They're afraid. Their hope is gone. And how do you give them hope? It's through the Word. Yeah. It doesn't have to be, you got to hit them over the head with the Bible. You don't have to do that. And you just talk to them and give them some encouragement. Yeah. And we have some different neighbors, and we had a fellow that used to be a neighbor came over last night or yesterday afternoon, and he was trying to get a hold of the place where he had sold the people the house to. And he's of Jewish descent. And I like the guy. He's quite a character. But I told him, he talked about what was going on overseas, you know. And I says, well, I says, it's the problem between Isaac and Ishmael. And he looked at me as if he never knew what the heck I was talking about. He said, I don't know anything about that. I said, well, they're the sons of Abraham. Oh, okay. And yet he's so worried about himself. Has no idea where he's going to get his next dollar from. Where is his hope? I mean, it doesn't take much to talk to people and give them some kind of hope, some encouragement. So now I'm telling you folks right now, just encourage yourselves. Ask God to give you the word. Ask Him to give you the strength. Ask Him for anything that you need to witness to somebody that there's a hope coming. And his name is Jesus. That's all you have to do. It doesn't take much, but it can really help. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, there's opportunities every moment of every day. If we're open, we're looking, we're listening to the Spirit of God, then we have opportunities to share the hope that's within us. It's interesting that Harry brought that up. I was thinking of a comment I had in a recent meeting with some people. And one of the things they said to me in this meeting is that, you know, people have lost their hope. And when you think about it, if you stop and think about it, you know, this country has been so blessed. And when it comes to times like these, you know what? The people who don't know God, they're down. They are worried, like Harry says. But we have a hope. We have a future according to the Word of God, according to God's plan. Amen? Hallelujah. And we have an answer. We are salt. We are light in this earth. You know? And praise the Lord. People today, I mean, those who are getting ready to retire in the future, the worry, listen carefully, the worry is that there's not going to be any Social Security or anything. And unfortunately, that's going on in the church today too. I'm reminded of the old song that says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. In fact, it's based on Scripture, that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Amen? Come on, don't shout me down or go to sleep on me here, folks. Where do we have hope today? Do you have hope? Are you sitting in a place where you don't have concerns? If you're not, you need to hear this word today. God's thoughts, God's heart. You know, He owns it all anyway. We talked Wednesday night a little bit about some exciting things going on. I just want to real quickly, and this is not the message, but I just want to read this to you once again. We all know what Jeremiah 29:11 says. If you don't know that by now, I don't know. You haven't been listening, because it just seems like there's not a service that goes by that we don't talk about this. In Ecclesiastes 2:26, it says, For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to the man who is good in His sight. But to the sinner, He gives the work of gathering and collecting that He may give to him who is good before God. Amen? Amen? He says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And in Jeremiah 29:11, for those of you who may not be familiar with that, it says, I know the thoughts. He says, I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. They're thoughts for good and not for evil. They're thoughts to prosper and not to harm you. And they're thoughts to give you a hope and a future. Now that's His plan for us. It's up to you whether you walk in that or not. Amen? Praise the Lord. He says, in my right hand are pleasures forevermore. At my right hand are pleasures forevermore. That doesn't just mean in the by and by when we go on to be with Him. That means right now in this earth, if you're walking in His presence, if you're walking with Him, then you have inalienable rights. I'm not talking about the Constitution or the preamble here. We're talking about the best Constitution we could ever have. And this one, there's not a soul on earth can do anything about it. They can't change it. They can't negate it. They can't distinguish it in any way or extinguish it. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Bill and I worked last night together. And, you know, you can't hardly get around Bill anymore that you don't just to get excited. Because God's doing tremendous things in his life. And, you know, I mean, some of the comments that he made are things that, you know, a lot of us here have experienced, and if we haven't, well, just hang on, honey, it's coming. It's coming. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, when you finally, see, one of the things we discussed, and I know nobody else but Bill and I have ever gone through this, is sometimes you think, man, if I can just do things just the right way, then God's going to bless me. No. God's plan is to bless you anyway as His child. Your responsibility is to be in fellowship with Him. The thing we seem to not be able to get clear in our minds is that everything in our life to get everything God has. Now, that doesn't mean we're not getting things and God's not blessing us, but to get everything that He has for us, we've got to give up us. Ooh, now that's a sore spot. Now, don't you all sit there and look at me like a calf at a new gate, because you know what I'm talking about. And that's one of the things Bill and I talked about last night. You know, if I can just do things good enough, you've all heard my testimony that there was a time in my life when I thought, well, God, if I can just get good, then You'll come into my life. And you stand there saying, Bill, no, let Me come in and I'll clean you from the inside out. And as He does that, when He cleans out the garbage, He begins to bring light and revelation to your heart and your life. And you begin to see what His real plan is. And it begins to build that hope and that future in you, understanding that God does not have an evil thought or an evil plan for you. It's the enemy. It's those who don't serve Him are the ones who are out to destroy. Why? Because they're following the one who is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? God said, there is no good thing that I will hold from you.
Right,
now, we're not talking about, hey, it could be. I'm reminded of T.L. Osborne, for those of you who may or may not know. T.L. Osborne in his ministry has gone all over the world, seen tremendous miracles. And he's literally had the wealth of nations laid at his feet by kings. And you know what he did? At one time, he was given 8 Rolls Royces. And you know what he did with them? I'll tell you what he didn't do with them. He didn't stick his thumbs under his arm and say, man, I must be something. He sold all but one of them, and that one is in a museum that's a monument to the blessing and the glory and the power of God in Oklahoma. Show this is what God's faithfulness can bring if you're faithful. God's faithfulness requires faithfulness on your part, though, too. But you know what? Even if we miss the mark, God doesn't just, oh, next. Right? Every one of us have had our times in this building today where there's been things where we kind of got a little off track, we got our focus off, but God didn't just throw us away. Amen? Good thing. Amen? So in the light of this, some comments that Bill made Wednesday night, tremendous. I mean, it shows a heart that's being transformed. And this only comes by being in the presence of God. And being in His Word. And taking your focus off of your problems, all the problems of the world. How many know you can't exalt God when you're looking at all the garbage that's going on? Stan has said many times, what you are exalting or what you're talking about is what you're exalting. And you can't exalt God when your focus is on the negative or the calamity in the world. That's called hopelessness. Amen? Do you have hope today? Is there someone you can trust beyond any? I mean, there's nothing He can't do? Amen? He says, I've got you right here in the palm of my hand. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Matthew 6, 24 through 34. I've got 2 scriptures here that I want to look at. And this is the beginning. One of the things, as we were talking about, as Harry had said, and we've been just kind of touching the issue here, is the fact that there, you know, people are, even in the church, they really don't have a grasp. They're really not sure God's all He says He can be, and He is. And it's because they're focused on the things of the world, focused on their needs, focused on the haves and the have-nots, rather than on the one who has everything and says, it's my good pleasure to give it to you. Amen? Starting in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's an interesting word if you look it up in the concordance. It literally means money or along those lines. Now in verse 24 or verse 25 it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry. See, that's the preface of what started this all this morning. It's what's been burning in my heart since last night. And the things are happening as I shared with you on Wednesday night, the testimony that out of the clear blue sky. You know? And I got to be honest with you, there was a point here a couple of weeks ago where I was in the mully grubs. I kind of barking and grumbling under my breath, you know. And it took my focus off the fact of who's really in control of my life or who I want in control of my life. So you can take it back anytime you want to. How many know that?
Yeah.
And God opened an avenue from somebody. It just reminded me. I got excited. I got really excited. I thought, thank you, Lord. I lost my focus for a minute, but I'm back now. Offered an opportunity with a company that I was with. Gets my seniority and my benefits back. It's a smaller building, less responsibility. Same pay. Now, that may seem like a step back to some folks, but the point is, you see, I have favor with God and man, and so do you. That's a promise from God. See, that's part of your heritage as a child of God. That's what He says. I'm just passing on to you or telling you what He says. I'm echoing what He's already told us. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life.
Amen.
See, if you're worried about your life, you can't be worried about or you can't be focused on the things of the kingdom, can you?
Right.
Oh, don't shout me down, folks. Come on now. If you're focused on the things of your life, you can't be focused on the kingdom, can you? And it's impossible. And how many times have we heard in this place that it's not about us, it's about Him?
Yeah.
We weren't put here for us. We were put here for others. And the first one we were put here for is for His, for fellowship with Him, and to be His instrument in this earth, right?
Right.
Amen? To rule and reign. To dispel darkness. To take the authority He's given to us, right? Don't worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink. Nor about your body. What you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Ask yourself. See, as I said Wednesday night, for those of you who weren't here, God knows the thoughts that He has for you. He knows the plans. And those will come into fruition if we'll keep our focus on Him. Not worry about those things. Amen? See, the world has set up a standard, and we tend to want to follow the standard because that's the way our fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, in other words, our lineage back have done it. People working themselves to death in a job so they can get a buck. And yet, like the Scripture says, because they don't have it in the right order, it's like putting money with in a pocket with a hole in it, and it's just going. It's just going. I mean, when you see it 1 minute, and there you go. Number 27. For which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Considering the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. See, he told us that he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. That's not just talking about food and clothing. That's everything. There's nothing left out. Would you all agree with that?
Right.
Is there anything beyond God's ability? No. At least one person said no, realizes. Now, if God clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But now listen, the next part is the most important part. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you.
Amen?
Amen? When we took the tithes and offerings this morning, scripture that I quoted was, you know, that He said, if you give, it will be given back to you. What does that mean? Are we talking just money here? Are we so finite and so narrow-minded that we think we're just talking about money here? When you sow to God, you're going to reap a harvest, a mighty harvest. And the responsibility is to sow more. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about everything. But he says, given it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And then what's the very last part of that? Will men give into your bosom? You understand that men, even ungodly men, are instruments that God uses? We just read that in Ecclesiastes 2:26. Do we need to read it again? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, when you look at the Scripture and you look at the lives of the disciples who went with Jesus and Jesus, did they lack for anything? Did they lack for anything? We go back and we look at the story. We're talking about not only food and clothing, but anything that's necessary for us to function. When God created us, He put us in a world where there are certain things that are necessities because of the sin back in the garden. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. They're necessities. So God's responsibility to us as we follow Him and obey Him is to make sure that those things are taken care of so that we can stay focused on what He has and what His plan is, right? Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
It's not about how good you get. It's not about how much you do. It's about your obedience and your willingness to give up self. Yeah. That's not going to happen overnight. It's a step-by-step process, just like the growing process from a little baby to all the way up to an adult. It's a process. So it takes time. But the key is to keep your focus where it belongs. Right? That's the important thing. See, we've already been told. Jesus obeyed the Father. By His stripes we were healed. One of the things that I know has come up recently, you know, that let me tell you, it was a struggle for me. It was a struggle for me to finally come to this place. But I'm here, and I'm not going back, and I'm not looking back.
Amen.
I'm not going back to the old ways. I didn't like that back there. There was uncertainty back there. But when we walk with God, there is surety. There is definite surety. Amen?
Right.
Everything in Him is sure. And everything in Him is what? Yes and amen, or so be it. Right? Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He's worthy. Hallelujah. So, when something happens, or we start to get a twinge or a pain or an ache, where our focus needs to be is, rather than going to the first place we should, let me put it this way, the first place we should go is to Him. And make that confession or profession of faith. Jesus took the stripes on His body before He went to the cross, that said, and by those stripes, we were in one place in the Bible, and we are in another place in the Bible healed.
Amen.
We're healed. Well, yeah, that's got to become real to you, but you have to start. See, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Every time you take a step in life, every day when you wake up, that's an opportunity for you to take another step and grow and for your faith to increase, right? So when we wake up with His praise on our lips, when we wake up with His worshiping Him, saying, Lord, here I am. We've been studying that, haven't we? In the life of Joseph. Here I am. Then what happens is He can begin to direct you and guide you. And as you take little steps and little hurdles that you cross over and your faith accomplishes something for you, that increases your faith and you're able to do further things. Here a few weeks ago, I think I mentioned to most everybody in the Bible study, or at least on Wednesday night, man, all of a sudden I had an attack on one of my teeth. And you can ask Bill, he was there, he saw, man, I was in pain. I really thought I was going to have to go. And I just said, no, this isn't going to happen, and I called Bill over, and Bill prayed for me. I asked him to pray for me specifically. I went upstairs to the restroom for a few minutes, and when I came out, I mean, it's like all the cloud, all the pain and everything was just gone. But you see, and I made the determination, I'm not going to change my testimony. Didn't make any difference what I felt. The fact is, God said it's done, so it's done. Jesus paid that price. He didn't shed that blood in vain, and I'm not going to be the one who makes it look like He shed it in vain. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm talking about where I'm at, folks. I'm not trying to put heaviness on anybody. I'm trying to say, if you keep your focus in the right place, and you don't change your testimony, which is called faith. That's what real believing is. You're not moved by what you see or what you feel. You're moved by what the Word of God says. Because how many know that this Word cannot fail? Doesn't He say He's not a man that can lie? Nor the Son of Man that He should repent? And has He not said, and will He not do it? And more than that, and for some of you this may be a shock, He said, if I don't keep my Word and fulfill my Word, I've got to kill myself because I esteem my Word above my very name. God said that. So we have things as His kids that we should value greatly. You never got anywhere by worrying about what you don't have or worrying about the problems, did you? I remember my mama telling me when I was a little boy, you know, well, when things get tough, the tough get up and get going. Amen? It's a fight. It's a fight. It's a battle. We know that. The Word says that. It's a battle. But we've got the whole armor of God. And how many remember the times that Stan's told us, in fact, that the armor doesn't cover the rear? There's no protection for the rear. So if you're running, you're vulnerable. But if you've got that armor and you're running straight into God, guess what? There's nothing going to stand in your way. Amen? Praise the Lord. God has plans for us to be in health, not to worry about. Folks, you have to ask yourself, sometimes on a daily basis, I do, where is my hope? Is my hope in a retirement? Is my hope in an aspirin? I'm not saying you don't take one once in a while, but if you run to God first and you stand in faith. I remember the story. I'm going to say this again because this is powerful. Bill and I talked about this last night, the things that's going on in his life, things that have gone on some of the rest of our lives, still going on in our lives, where we get to the point where finally we start to get a glimpse and we start to see clearly. And all of a sudden, God arrests us with His goodness, His awesomeness, His presence. And we find out, you know what? God really does love me. He wants to have a relationship with me. He wants to give me the things that He has planned for me. Why? So we can give Him glory and so that people will be drawn to Him. Amen. Not so you can run around and stick your thumbs on your arm and say, man, look at me. I'm something. No. He's something. Amen. And if we're doing what we should be doing and focus in the right place, then what happens is His presence is shown to the world. And then they'll say, He's really something. I want what you got. I need what you have. I want to know what you know. And that should be our cry anyway, shouldn't it? God, I want to know what you know. I want to see what you see. I want to feel what you feel. And I want to have the thoughts that you have. Bill told me about a revelation about an individual that he was able to see how God saw this individual. And it totally changed his outlook. Totally changed his outlook about this individual. You know, sometimes we get to be rotten stinkers, even as Christians, huh? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, it takes one moment in God's presence to get a glimpse of what He sees or His thoughts. And let me tell you something, man. It's just like all you can do to keep from falling on your face and saying, God, I'm sorry. And it changes your whole attitude and heart. That's what it's about. I'm reminded of the story that Harry told about the guy who went into a convention. They prayed for people, and he confessed, I'm healed. He's got a growth out the side of his face. You know? And he says, I'm healed. See, he grasped a hold of the world. The Word grasped a hold of him, and he grasped a hold of that, and he hung on. As the week went on, he kept confessing, I'm healed. And finally, even the folks in the church got frustrated with him and in the convention who were supposed to be Christians. But you're not healed. I still see it. And he said, I am healed. By the time Saturday rolled around, even with all the doubt and unbelief around him, from those who should be his brothers and sisters and who were, but bless their darn hearts and mixed up minds, got focused on the thing rather than the Word. He walked in that final morning, and it was gone. That's documented, folks. It's gone. Why? Because he held fast to his confession and his profession. He held fast to the Word of God. This is the only surety you have, folks. If you're looking for a guarantee in life, it ain't out there. It ain't in your retirement. It ain't in all the other things that we do to try to maintain a lifestyle. You want to live the good life? You want to have a rich life? Live it in Him. With your life surrendered to Him. Amen? Now, why don't we grasp a hold of these things? Why are we struggling with these things? I'm glad you asked that question. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Starting in verse 8. No, let's go back a little bit. Let's start with number 3. He spoke to them many things in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and immediately they sprang up. Immediately you saw a harvest, but because they had no depth of earth, But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Okay? Now, what are we saying here? What's that about? Go with me. That was verses 3 through 9. Let's go to 18 through 21. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, so the seed that was sown is the word of God. The birds, the heat that scorched, are the circumstances in this life, in this time, around us every day, that try to pull our focus away and steal that word from us. Are y'all with me? We're going to see that that's the case here in just a minute. Those are the things we need to put down. Casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Taking those thoughts captive. 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 Throw it to the ground. Don't entertain it. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And this is he who received by the wayside." Did you get that? Let me read that again. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes..." Well, imagine that. Isn't that his job? One thing you can say about the devil is he's faithful just like God is. "Comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside." We just read in verse 8. Or one of these verses about how it was sown and it fell by the wayside. Verse 4. Verse 20. "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet it has no root in himself." Now, how many know when you first got saved, you remember the exuberance, the joy, and the zeal you had? Man, you were going to set the world on fire for God. And you felt like you were on fire for God. But because you were so young in the faith and you hadn't walked it out yet, there were some things that you kind of, this is what I believe, but it really wasn't faith inside you. It was more hopeful or wishful thinking, right? Let me just cut to the chase here. What I want you to see today, what I want you to consider, is the fact that God is moving in your behalf. What you got to do is change your focus so you can see what he's doing. You got to change your outlook from pessimism to optimism. Is the glass half full or half empty? Amen? How many still got some room to receive more from God? I don't think you heard me. I said, how many still got room to receive some more from God? He says, your eye has not seen, nor your ear heard, nor has it entered into your heart the things that He has prepared for those that love Him. Do you love Him? Do you believe He's got things prepared for you? Praise the Lord. But it is rooted in him, but he endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And we can all say, that's me at some point in my life. Right? Come on now, you can't hide it from God. You might as well confess because God knows. And immediately he stumbles. Verse 22. Now he who receives seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. We have the best example we could ever get without picking on anybody in this room. The rich young ruler. When he came to Jesus, he said, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus told him the things that he needed to do. And his response was, but I've done those things since I was a child. Jesus said, one thing you lack. And no, Jesus wasn't telling you need to be poor to be a Christian. He said, sell all you have and give to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. See, what we don't understand and what we don't like, because that's not the way we're programmed from birth in this earth, is the fact that when you work hard, you get things, and you're supposed to hang on to those things. The problem came not because the rich young ruler had money, but because the money had him. What do you mean? In other words, instead of possessing the money and allowing God to have His will in with that money, the money controlled him. So he was sad. Well, you know what? We saw what right away. We see right away where his love was. He wanted to be saved, but he loved the money more than he loved God. So he went away sad. Now, I'm not saying, you all know better than that. Okay? I'm not talking to children here. You all know that God's not in the market of having His people poor. Let me tell you something. If you're a wealthy person and your child's running around in rags, does that show anything about what kind of parent you are? Is God any different? Oh, I said, is God any different? Come on, folks, you need to get to be proactive in this. Get interactive with me. You know this is the truth. You know what? The Bible says by the mouth confession is made for salvation, for everything you believe. It needs to come out of your mouth. Because when you say it, it goes from here through here. I mean, it goes from between your ears through down into your heart. And you believe you more than anybody else. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That means hearing and hearing and hearing. Confessing over and over again and walking in it. Amen? Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and deceitful riches chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Can I tell you, when God gives us a word, or He starts to do something in our life, and it doesn't turn out just the way we like it, our tendency is to go and dig up the seed. Okay, well, Bill, how do you do that? By confessing or doing anything contrary to what you confessed to begin with. You're digging up that seed. I'm healed, but I don't feel anything. Come on. Once again, y'all been there. I'm not the only one. I don't have an exclusive on these things. I'm telling you, we're going to start raising people from the dead here in a minute. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Did you get that? Okay. I remember Jean the other night. She confessed. We prayed for her again and we watched the attack go away, right, Jean? Violin and piano. This is the second time here in just a very short period of time. And what she said was exactly what I can tell you I've said. And believe it or not, even though I wasn't there when you said it, I know you said it too. Is that sometimes, because I don't feel it or because I don't see it right away, remember the man with the big growth? His friends and everybody were doing everything they could to destroy his faith, to say, no, you're not healed, you got that growth. And if he'd have changed his testimony for 1 second, he wouldn't have gotten it. Hold fast to what you confess. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now the same story is repeated in Mark 4, 3 through 9 and 14 through 20. So what am I saying today? I'm saying, folks, sometimes the reason we don't see the things of God is because we give up too quick, or we let the deceitfulness of riches or other things in this life choke the Word. And a lot of times, you know, we're right on the verge of having that breakthrough to see the manifestation of what God has. And we do something dumb, like say something dumb or change our confession, or we just don't have enough patience. And of course, then, of course, the enemy comes to see God's not who he says he is. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me that way. God's not what he says he is. Bill's smiling back there. No. Let me tell you, most of you here have heard me say, if you feel far from God, guess who moved? Guess who moved? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? He said, there's nothing that can take you out of my hand except you. Ooh! You guys didn't like that one, I know. You know what? Can I tell you where I'm at right now? I didn't start out here, but day by day as I grow in Him, and as more and more of my life is surrendered, the more I know that I don't care if this world falls down around me. I don't care if gas becomes $100 a gallon. I know one thing. God is bigger than anything I see out there.
Right.
And He's faithful. And I'm not the only person that He wants to do this for.
Right.
Are you His child? Are we part of the kingdom? Are we been grafted into that vine? Are we not of the seed? A hope and a future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't He? All the time, and all the time, God is good. See, desperately, the Holy Spirit is working to bring us to the place where our focus is in Him and in His Word, not our surroundings. Oh, honey, why do you think the Bible says that you got to renew your mind by the Word, by the washing of the water of the Word? Because you're brought up in a system and a society from the day you enter school and from the things you see your parents do to say, well, if I do this and this and this, I'll be successful. That I can have this and this and this. And God's saying, give it up, follow me. And no good thing will I withhold from you.
Right.
Let's go. God, I'm ready to go. He says, test those things. Test those things. If I test them, what do I mean? I mean, take God at His Word and step out. Step out. Philippians 4:19 says, Beloved. Hey, that's a good way to start something. He's got my attention now. Beloved. Everybody say, that's me. I would, our Father talking to us, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. What does that mean? Are we just talking about money? We need to get our focus off of money and understand God's talking about everything that pertains to life and godliness.
Right.
No good thing will I withhold from you. Beloved, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. What does that mean? As you focus on me, as you walk with me, and as you continue to walk with me, you take the steps, put one foot in front of the other. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you feel. And as Stan would say, or his dad would say, I don't care if it hair lips half a Congress. Walk in it. Don't turn from it. And watch God perform what He says He'll perform. When you go out and you say, well, okay, I believe this, and then you're kind of looking around wondering what's going to happen, what you're really saying is, God, I'm not really sure that you can do this for me. Or the other thing you're saying is, God, I don't think I'm worthy enough. Do you understand that that was dealt with at the cross? Do you understand that Jesus took all of the things that were the handwriting of ordinances against us? In other words, the things that convict us that we should have died for. He took it all and made it just as if we had never, ever sinned. Restore us to right relationship and fellowship with Him. That's all of us. And that means everything that the book says is mine. But it's up to me. I remember years ago when we first started, or actually over on Wadsworth and Morrison when we had the church there, Stan asked me to bring my equipment. So I had my handcuffs and things, and he brought Patrick down. He had Patrick volunteer to be the guinea pig. And he had me put him into custody to bring home a point. Do you realize that Almighty God, that you can stop him in his tracks and you can handcuff him where he can't operate in your life? We're talking about God, Bill. But you have the ability through doubt or unbelief or not holding fast your profession to handcuff him or by your actions. You have the ability. You can't blame anybody else. It's you. It's me. If God's not working, the first place you need to go is come here and consider your ways. Right? This is not meant to tear you down. It's meant to exalt, to build you up, to edify you, to exhort you. It's simple. Don't focus on what you haven't done or the mistakes you've made. What does your Bible say about a righteous man? It says he falls seven times but rises up again. Pick yourself up like David did. Father, I'm sorry. I repent. What does repent mean? I'm sorry I got caught? No. It means turn the other way. When Jesus told the harlot that was about to be stoned, when he was with her and they were ready to stone her, what did he say? First of all, he asked those who were ready to stone her, okay, just, you know, go ahead and proceed. But before you do that, just one thing I want to, you know, just put out there. Let him who was without sin cast the first stone. That's the first deliverance, folks. And all of a sudden, he looked around and he said, well, woman, where are your accusers? And as she looked around, she said, there are none. He said, I don't accuse you either. But he said, now, your sins are forgiven you. Go and sin no more. And I like the way God revealed it to Stan. What he said was, go and don't do it again. Because there's a line you can cross. Now, what am I trying to say here? What I'm trying to say is, when God delivers you or God begins to reveal things in your life and show you, don't run from them and don't start looking down, man, I'm such a worm. You know, no, you're not. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. The righteous one dwells within you. He lives and abides within you. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the glory of God dwells within you. You're not a worm. You were an unjust worm of a sinner. But when He came into your life, that was transformed and changed forever. You were metamorphosized at that time, according to the Scripture, in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away. When someone passes away, is there any more life there? If something dies, is there any life there?
No.
But now you're resurrected in newness of life. A new creature, a new species or being that never before existed. Oh, you ought to be shouting right now. God's trying to very desperately by the Holy Spirit grasp our attention and get us to see that we're the only thing standing between us and His blessings. We're the only thing in this thing between our ears, the only thing that's keeping His hand from moving in our life the way we desire it. Don't tell me you don't desire it. I know better than that. There's not a person in this room who doesn't desire to see and walk in the things of God. But folks, what He told the rich young ruler is, take up your cross and follow me. That doesn't mean go and get nailed to the cross. That means follow. With the same tenacity you do some of the things you do in your life. When you're convinced of something, man, you follow it. You're not going to give up no matter what happens. And that's what He wants. He wants you to stay steadfast, forcing yourself. As Paul said, I keep under my body. What does that mean? That means I don't let my body rule me. I don't let my flesh and my thoughts. If you've placed Him at the very highest place in your life, then that means there's no more you. Right? We started out by reading, no person can serve two masters. You can't serve you and God. You can't say, well, God, I'll give you this much of my life, but at this point, you know, you can for a while, and God will be merciful and graceful, and He'll work with you. But there comes a point where, first of all, if you're walking with Him and you really mean what you said, you're going to follow Him, you're going to give it up willingly. Willingly. I feel led to share one more time about one of the hardest things that I ever had to give up in my life. And that was my love for my family. Now, what do I mean by give it up? Does that mean I turn to my family? No. It means I had to come to the place where I loved God more than them and said, God, You're more important and You're at the highest place in my life, which means there is nothing above You in my life. Folks, you talk about fear. I like what Harry said the other night. Man, I'm telling you, I've used that. People, their eyes get big when you say this. Fear is false evidence against reality. What reality? Think about that. Man, that is a powerful statement. False evidence against reality. My fear was, well, man, if I don't have my family, I've got nothing. And God said, where do I fit in that statement? This was when I knew Him. But I'm still standing here, and I'm not where I was. You know why? Because even though it hurt, even though it was uncomfortable, it was profitable for me to cut off that thing that was keeping me held down from walking in the things of God that He had for me. For you, it may be something else. See, now He's the most important. Did God require me to stay away from my family and never see them again? No. But you see, now I've got things in priority. Right? How many know what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. I've got things in priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you. Amen? Hallelujah. I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to be encouraged today. You're His. Do you realize that unless you pick up and walk away, there's not one thing, not one calamity, not one circumstance in this earth that can pull you out of there? You're walking around with His name engraved on your forehead. Your name is engraved in His hand. Who or what will separate you from the love of God? Pestilence, famine, darkness, sword? I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other thing will be able to separate me from the love of God. Amen. I like that. A bold young man. Amen. And if God's for you, folks, the nitty-gritty in closing, if God's for you, who can be against you? He's told you no weapon formed against you will prosper. No plan, no attack, no device of the enemy or anybody else will prosper. Amen? I know Chuck recently. We all know, we don't know all the circumstances, we don't need to know, but we know that he was asking for prayer for having to deal with the IRS. Did God handle that problem? You mean tell me, Chuck, are you trying to tell me God's bigger than the IRS? Whoa. Praise God. But you all know, because Chuck preaches sometimes in the church, he's got a special dispensation with God, right? I mean, he's special in God's eyes. You all aren't there yet. No. God is no respecter of persons, folks. There is neither male nor female nor Jew nor Greek in Him. Amen? Say with me, this is for me. I'll say it like you mean it. This is for me. Amen. Do you believe it this morning? Are you on your way? Are you on your way? Praise the Lord. Be encouraged this morning. He says, be still and know that I'm God. You know, when they came to me a month or so ago, or a couple of months ago, said, well, this new company is going to take over your contract. And the rumor is, we hear that you're going to lose your benefit, your seniority. You're going to lose your vacation time. You're probably going to get your wages cut. I could have focused on that. But you see, God's proved himself in my life too many times. I'm not going there. I've watched him do it in your life too. See, one of the cool things about being able to be called to the ministry in a place is you get to see what God's doing in others' lives, not just yours. He's no respecter of persons. But I chose to stay focused on the Lord. And the fact and the reality is I have favor. You have favor with God and man. You have favor with God and man. God's good, folks. You need to know it. You need to know it. Not just talk about it or think God's good, but you need to know in your heart He's good. All of a sudden, letters started to be written by people in the building saying you need to keep this man on. A couple other people, not just me, but some others. Because we did the job as unto the Lord. We did it. Maybe they didn't. Maybe I don't even know if some of them know the Lord. But the point is, my focus was, it's about you, God. It's not about me. This is not my source. My job is not my source. So I kept on going the way I was going. Man walks into me and says, and I'm telling you this not to exalt me, folks. Please, take your eyes off of me. Put them on him. Man comes in and says, Bill, we need to talk. What do we need to do to retain you? And I ended up getting a raise. I lost some other things, but I had a job. Well, what they don't understand is they couldn't have done anything about it anyway. One way or the other, I was going to come out on top. Can I tell you in the last... I can't tell you how many years. I've lost count. Every time something's happened where the enemy tried to touch me in one way or another, through false accusations or whatever, I've come out better. I've come out better. More money. God holds you in His hand. His thoughts for you. You were created and designed for fellowship with Him. Why would He wish or cause harm to come to you? And the next thing I know, I turn around and I get a phone call from a man who was my boss. I thought things were over with. See, that's my state of thinking. My focus was still where it belonged. And I'm doing the job to the best of my ability where I'm at now. And my boss called me. My ex-boss, I should say. And he starts talking to me out of the clear blue sky. Oh, Bill, things are just, I'm just looking for somebody. I got another problem someplace. And I knew. I said, well, Pete, who you got in mind? And it's almost like I can see what happened. He kind of hung his head. Well, Bill, he says, you're who I've got in mind. I said, Pete, who's at the top of your list? He says, you're at the top of my list. Yeah, I'm so great that the whole world's knocking down my door. No. They see God in you. They recognize not you, but the God in you. And they recognize godly traits in you. Honesty, integrity, faithfulness. I got a job right now that takes responsibility away. Instead of adding more responsibility at the same pay I had before, and I got my seniority, my vacation time back. See, I'm a human, folks. And y'all, most of you know I've got a vacation plan to go see my brand new granddaughter in December. And I'm sitting wondering, and I'm not freaking out about it. I'm wondering. I'm a human. I didn't say I was dead. But I'm saying the things that would hold me down are dying and falling off day by day. My vacation's paid for. I don't have to worry about where my bills are going to be met or not. Because I worried about it? No. Because God's faithful, and I know it. And He's proved Himself too many times in my life. Too many times in my life. Amen? He has in yours too, and you know it. You know it. There's people sitting in this room that you know were it not for the grace of God, you wouldn't be standing sitting right here today. You'd be gone. You'd be in eternity, possibly without hope. That's God's grace and mercy, folks. That's God's grace and mercy. Mercy. Mercy assumes need on the part of the one who receives mercy, and resources adequate to meet that need on the part of the one who gives or shows mercy. That sounds like God to me. Sounds like God to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you encouraged? Are you encouraged today? You need to just let that soak in, folks. He's talking about me. You need to say that. Not out loud necessarily, but in your heart of hearts, you need to say, he's talking about me. Those of us who are members here, what does that mean? It just means you come. If you come, you're a member. That's all it requires. Just come. And even though you may not come here all the time, you have to understand that, first of all, you're not out of God's sight or mind, and you're not out of ours either. But if you need prayer, come this morning. Or even if it's just where you are, raise your hand. Let some people gather around you, just lay hands on you and pray for you. If you need to know the Lord, you don't know the Lord, then today is the day of salvation, folks. Don't let this day pass. See, God wants to show himself strong in your behalf. He says his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking those in whose behalf he can show himself strong. He's inviting you. You haven't done anything so terrible that he can't touch you. You haven't done anything so terrible that he's finally said, no, I'll have nothing more to do with you. The worst thing you could do is reject him today. Because when you do that, you have no surety or hope of what hour may come, when the hour may come, that you may not be able to take another breath and make a change. God loves you. He loves you so much you can't even imagine. You can't even conceive how much he loves you. And how much he wants to do these things for you. Amen. Father, right now, once again, we proclaim we love you. But more important than all of that, Lord, is we trust you. We trust your word. We trust your faithfulness. None of us have ever seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, your seed, begging for bread, Lord. The one who knows the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. We love you. We exalt you today. And we thank you, Lord, that you're causing us to grow, to change, to see you, Lord, for who you really are. The one that can never, ever fail. Take your word today, Father. Take your word. Seal it in our hearts. Let every other word and every other thought fall to the ground and die. But let your word be sealed in our hearts so that we'll walk out of here as we proclaim this morning. We will never be the same as when we came in here today. Changed from glory to glory. For for your purpose and your will. Right now, Lord, I thank you that you're transforming us from sons into heirs of you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We love you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. You saved me. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I lift my hands and I lift my heart. Praise you, Jesus. Play it again, Gene, please. God, and know He goes with you. Amen. Be blessed.